Welcome to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast. Every 2 weeks, we explore news and issues affecting hunters, anglers, and conservation across the northeastern United States. If you enjoy the content here, be sure to subscribe to our print or digital versions by calling 800-535-5191 or visit our website at outdoornews.com. Now, here's your host and a man who claims he's immune to buck fever, New York Outdoor News editor Dan Ladd.
This episode of the Great Northeast Podcast is brought to you by the Family Forest Carbon Program, a collaborative initiative created by two nonprofit organizations, the American Forest Foundation and the Nature Conservancy, assisting landowners in improving the health of their land with long-term sustainable forest management practices while providing guaranteed annual income. Learn more at familyforestcarbon.org. Greetings and welcome to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. Happy to be along, happy to have you along, as we are officially almost to late June here, once we cross into the 20th, the first day of summer coming up, actually, on the 21st, the summer solstice. That's official, folks. No, doesn't get more official than that. But here we are. Bass season is open in many of the states here in the Northeast, if not already. The New York opener was the 15th, which was Monday. And so we're in full swing here in terms of summer fishing. And school is about to let out in places all across the Northeast, which basically the summer tourism season is about to begin here in the Northeast. And, you know, most of our Northeastern states, and I know for sure in New York, we have a lot of water and campgrounds and that sort of thing. So all that summer fun is about to kick in. And if you haven't made your camping reservations already, I would advise you to do so soon. But the main thing I like to say about summer, and this goes back to my childhood, and I think anyone can relate to this, is when, you know, you get out of school for the summer and then 4th of July happens, and then you think, oh boy, I got all this time, can't wait. And the next thing you know, you wake up one day and it's it's the second or third week of August, and everything on TV or in the newspapers is back to school sales, and you're like, oh boy. But so make the most of it while you can. It goes quick, and that goes for parents and kids alike, because we know the summer months are a great time to get out and enjoy the outdoors, and especially do a little fishing, camping, hiking, all that great stuff. It's a wonderful time of year. I don't care for the heat or the bugs, but hey, you know, you deal with it. And for me, we're always counting down the days till hunting season. And that's what we're going to talk about in the first segment. We got a couple things lined up for you in this podcast. We've got our New York Outdoor News Person of the Year, Debbie Brosen, a good friend of mine. But before we get to that, we're going to wrap up, or at least summarize, some of the new hunting regulations that the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation just proved. New regulations coming up for this fall hunting season. We'll talk about that when we come back right after this.
Are you an avid angler searching for the latest fishing news and tips? It's time to check out OutdoorNews.com. Get ready to reel in the freshest updates and expert advice from top anglers. Plus, you'll have access to the most up-to-date fishing reports, lake maps, lake reports, and more. Don't let the big one get away. Join OutdoorNews.com and reel in a world of fishing knowledge and expertise. Join today, OutdoorNews.com. Your passion, your news, your fishing journey.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. And just prior to recording this podcast, and just before we went to press with the June 26th edition of New York Outdoor News, which you'll see in mailboxes very soon, right around June 22nd, June 23rd, the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation announced that they had finalized and approved a series of proposed regulations that they rolled out in March and took a public comment on throughout the spring months, designed to get us deer hunters to take more antlerless deer. The most controversial one is what we call the EA2B, earn a second buck. And what that's going to involve now is if you are a deer hunter in New York State, typically in previously, if you purchased either a bow or a muzzleloading stamp or tag or whatever you want to call it, you would get an additional tag. And that would be a tag that you could use on either a buck or a doe. We called it an either or tag. So basically, it gave you the opportunity to harvest a second buck during either a bow or muzzleloading season. You could shoot that deer in the early season and then still have your regular season buck tag, you know, for whether it's northern zone or southern zone during the rifle season, or shotgun in some areas, or even bow in some areas. Or you could fill it again with your bow or muzzleloader. You had a lot of options there. Now what they're going to do is they're going to take that, your regular season buck tag is going to be called your antlered deer tag. And there's no stipulations on when you can fill that. And there is some confusion with that. But the bottom line is that is your tag. You don't have to do anything prior to filling that tag. You can fill your buck tag, your regular buck tag, with your bow license, muzzleloading, or in the regular season. However, before you can take a second buck, you have to harvest a doe. And so that means if you're a bow hunter or muzzleloader hunter, you want to do it before the regular season so that you have a second buck tag, or either later. The options are there. Some people might call them restraints. I don't know. That's entirely up to you and your hunting situation. But the bottom line is, here in New York, you have to fill a doe tag before you can be issued a second buck tag. It will happen automatically, electronically. DEC has a very functional app now. The Hunt Fish New York app works great for the most part, from my experience. I've heard some other people say otherwise, but you know, it's an individual thing. What if you're not a person with a bow or a muzzleloader stamp? That's the question I hear a lot. Well, you have to apply for an antlerless deer tag. Now, think about it. If you're not a bow or a muzzleloader hunter, you never got a chance for a second buck anyway. You were a one buck person. You had one opportunity, one tag. That's not going to change. But if you did want an opportunity to earn a second buck tag, which you can use in the regular season, so now you can actually kill two bucks during the regular season. And that's something I like, and I'll explain that in a minute. But if you're a person who doesn't bow or muzzleloader hunt, then you want to get an antlerless deer permit and fill it somewhere where you can fill it. Now, there's a September season in New York, and they're adding a whole bunch of wildlife management units to that. I think there was 9 or 11 or something like that where they did it, and they're adding 10 to it. So there's going to be more areas open under this package to that September season. And it's usually like around the second week of September into, you know, it's basically the middle of September. And yeah, I think it's an 11-day season, and it's antlerless only anyways. So if you get a permit for one of those areas, fill a doe tag, bingo, you got yourself a second buck tag. Additionally, if you got an antlerless deer tag, a DMP, deer management permit, or even a DMAP, deer management assistance program, that's the landowner's program, if you obtain one of these permits and you fill it, upon filling it, you will earn a second buck tag. Now, I know for some people that might not happen until the rifle season. You may be out in the northern zone or the southern zone because they're issuing antlerless deer tags in the northern zone. And actually, there's legislation, as I just mentioned, to allow that, to potentially allow that. It's passed both houses, and it will expand into Region 5. Another topic for another day there, but getting back to these regulations, you're going to have to fill an antlerless tag before you can earn the second buck tag. A few other changes. They're making it a lot easier to get permits in certain areas. They're adding a number of wildlife management units to those that will have up to 4 permits, I think, or two in one, two in the other, or unlimited WMUs. Again, this was just announced just before we went to press, and we'll be talking a whole lot more about it later. And the other component of this is a lot of times in the past, hunters could only have 2 deer doe permits transferred to them. That's going to be unlimited now. So if you're one of these people that, one, has time to hunt, two, has access to a place where there's a lot of antlerless deer, then you can just fill them in these units unlimited, as long as people transfer permits to you. And in some areas, you're going to be able to get more under the program I just mentioned, where there's going to be WMUs with no quota. Bottom line, folks, New York State wants you to shoot more antlerless deer. And that's what this is all designed to do. We'll see how it all plays out. What I really want to say about this is it's not a one-size-fits-all. DEC knows this. So, you know, if you're in an area that does not have a lot of strong doe population, then don't shoot any. It's going to require some self-discipline on the part of us hunters. And I see this no further than when I look in the mirror. I'm a northern zone hunter. And most of the places we hunt, we do not shoot antlerless deer. We make exceptions for youth hunters once in a while, but it's happened very rarely. But it's hard for us in our areas, which are often above 1,500, 2,000 feet in elevation. They're public lands. They're not harvested for timber. We rely on an acorn crop or occasional beech nut crop for food. Sometimes winters can be severe. We just can't see ourselves filling a lot of antlerless deer tags there because we don't see a lot of deer to begin with. You may be in one of these areas, even in a southern zone. We have people say, hey, there's not the deer here that there used to be. Well, then use some self-discipline. You know, just because you want that second buck tag, don't go shoot the first antlerless deer you see if you don't have a lot of deer in your area. Again, it's going to be self-policing on our parts. For myself and our crew, we've talked about it. Nothing's going to change. Just because we can earn a second buck tag doesn't mean we're going to be shooting antlerless deer left and right in areas. Well, we're not going to see them left and right. That's our experience, some years more than others. But we do have areas where we go to where we target antlerless deer. One of them is right in my neighborhood where I live. It's a little more crowded. Yes, it is in the Adirondack Park, but we see more deer around here, and we try to take them with our bows and our muzzleloaders, and we don't worry about it because the populations kind of reestablish themselves very quickly. And that's a prime example of what I think the agency, meaning DEC, wants us all to do here. So if you're one of those folks, what the agency would like you to do is go to an area, and I know this is not easy because access is an issue, go to an area that where there are these non-quoted, you know, WMUs, or where you know there's more antlerless deer around, and try to take one there. That's what they're hoping we will do. Hey, we've got a great guest lined up for you, my buddy Deb Rosen. We're going to come back and talk with her. She's the New York Outdoor News Person of the Year when we come back right after this.
There's a great program available for youth who love to hunt and fish. It's called the Outdoor News Junior Pro Team, and any youth 18 or under can join for free at jrproteam.com. JPT program showcases useful videos and tips to help encourage the next generation to become stronger anglers and hunters. It's a platform to celebrate and inspire those outdoor loving youth. Check out the photos of Outdoor News Junior Pro Team members on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube, and visit our jrproteam.com for more information.
Okay, welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News, and we've got someone on the podcast here we've had before. This is Deb Brosen. A lot of us call her Debbie. Deborah, she goes by many names, but most people know her for her artwork, as she is well-known for painting on turkey feathers and all the different programs she's involved in with the outdoors, including becoming an outdoors woman, as we mentioned earlier. But we have made Deb the New York Outdoor News Person of the Year. And when I say we, I mean people who read the paper, people who follow Deb and thought she was worthy of this award. So Deb, I want to congratulate you. It's quite an honor from our perspective. And I was glad to see when people started sending in the nominations, I thought, wow, this would be great, because obviously you and I have a long history together, and I know that you're very deserving of this. So welcome to the podcast. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for inviting me back, and thank you so much for such a wonderful, prestigious honor to receive that award.
You've had quite a spring.
I have.
For those who don't know, Deb is the president of the New York State Outdoor Writers Association, and I've been involved with that group for a long time. And she's one of the few that I have known that, while they were president, actually organized a conference. And we're a little more than a month removed from that right now. God, it seems like it was just yesterday, even though it was only a month ago, huh?
Yeah, it certainly was a very busy and active conference. And the memories of it are still very vivid. So I can understand why it seems like it was just yesterday. It was such a great time.
So we did a lot in your area down there in Columbia County, in Greene County. What are you hearing from the folks down there? What have they had to say since the event transpired? Because we had a great meeting with DEC, and I know the people at the Glencadia Rod and Gun Club that day were very attentive to what all we were talking about. And in the intro to this, I actually was talking about the deer regulations, which are now have been realized. At the time, Brendan Corgan and Amanda Lefton were talking about they were only proposals, but now that's been realized. So again, what was the reaction of the clubs?
Well, all the members from the various clubs that attended the chicken barbecue were extremely amazed that first of all, that Nisawa held one and that they were invited. The members of Glencadia were so happy to have us there, and we're happy to be able to hear the presentations from the DEC staff. And I've just had such overwhelmingly great responses from people about the barbecue, from the outside Nisawa members, people that just absolutely loved that concept. They had a great time. They were happy with the turnout, and Glencadia members have just been so happy that they were able to host us. I've had a lot of great feedback from Nisawa members about not only the conference, but the barbecue as well. So I think everything turned out extremely wonderful, better than I had even expected.
Well, you did a great job, Deb. And then a week later, and I'm not tooting my own horn here, but we were out in Canastota for the New York Outdoorsman Hall of Fame induction. And that's where we presented Deb the award. I was honored, as I said earlier in this podcast in a previous episode, to be inducted myself. And Deb was inducted a few years back, and she's on the board of directors. And we took advantage of the opportunity there to present her with the Person of the Year award. So I hope you enjoyed that.
Enjoyed it is very much an understatement. I was totally blown away. As I sat there listening to you, you know, I never in a million years expected that my name was going to come off your lips. And when you said my name, I'm sure I made like a very strange face because I was just shocked. I mean, I followed Outdoor News magazine for many, many years. Excuse me. And have always enjoyed the magazine, and you know, it's extremely heartwarming to know that your colleagues think highly enough of you to nominate you for such an award, and then also to be selected for it. So I think I've been in shock ever since.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. You know, my experience with the Person of the Year award, it started about 6 or 7 years before I came on board as editor. And now I've been in here for 6 years. So we're about halfway through, and we've had some strong nominations, and, you know, a lot of people we get one or two nominations for, but what we always look for is multiple nominations. So a year ago, we had a great candidate who we presented to, Joe Rist, down in the Catskills. And Joe, we had him on the podcast, and, he does so much with veterans through his fly shop down there in Roscoe. And that I had never seen so many nominations come through for this award prior to Joe, until Deb, until you. And I would say it's about the equal amount. I haven't counted them, to be honest with you, but our buddy Leo Maloney got behind this real strong, and he sent me an envelope full of nominations. Your husband, John, he's guilty as charged because he talked with me about it. And I told him that I'd had some nominations, but the gentleman from the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, people from your local Rod and Gun Club, the people, you know, your peers, like you said. So, you know, well-deserved, Deb. And you're right. It is nice to be when people are honored by their peers. And that's what we like to see with this award. We'd like to see go to somebody who touches a lot of lives in a lot of different ways. And I think I'm accurate when I say that about you.
Well, thank you.
Well, Deb, if you guys don't know, she's a wonderful artist, featherartstudio.com. She paints on turkey feathers, and she donates so much. And that's what I want to talk about with you is not so much the award, but what leads up to it. I mean, yeah, we did a lot on your bio. We talked about how, you know, you were brought into the outdoors through your father and inspired you to be an artist. But now, I mean, and I haven't had a chance to thank you, but at the conference, Deb handed out these President's Awards, and I was honored to get one. And she made me, myself, and a few others these real nice pack baskets. And now when we had lunch a couple weeks ago, you were talking about painting on pine needles. I mean, where do you get these ideas?
Honestly, these ideas come to me when I'm trying to sleep at night. I'm always looking for new things to do and new things to bring in to my shop from nature. And some nights I just lay there and I think about all the things I want to paint, or an image will pop into my mind. So I just am always thinking about the next thing I'm going to do.
And that's a writer trait. I mean, and that's what I always tell people about outdoor writing. You know, here it is summer. We're starting to think about deer season, and deer season, from a professional standpoint, we're thinking about winter, you know, ice fishing, small game hunting, trapping. In the winter, we're thinking turkey hunting and trout fishing. And then during the spring, I'm always a quarter ahead. And let me ask you a question. When you have these thoughts, do you write them down?
I do not. Because
I'm a musician as well. You know that. And trying to write songs is really difficult. And I don't know how many good ideas I've forgotten because I didn't write them down. And what few songs I have tried to write or whatever have come because I was smart enough to take advantage of the situation and write it down. So maybe keep a notepad and a flashlight by your bed at night so that you jot these ideas down. But the pine needle thing, I mean, I'm sitting here watching pollen fly around in my area. I don't know about your area, but the pine pollen has been nasty. My eye doctor reminded me of that the other day. And now, you know, I was thinking about what you said about the pine needles.
Well, in all fairness or honesty with my ideas, once they pop into my head, I can't get rid of them.
You're obsessed. So,
yeah, it's, you know, I could sit and paint or create 24/7. And there's not enough time. There's not enough hours in the day for me to do all the things that I want to do. So I kind of have to pick and choose. But with the pine needles, we're always out in the woods and we're always collecting things. And, you know, we'll pick up pine cones. We'll pick up birch bark. We sometimes make picture frames, John and I, out of the birch bark that we peel off of dead trees. And what I've been thinking of doing with the pine needles is putting them into my baskets. And I'm close to getting the time to do that. And I'll have to let you know when I do.
I'm looking forward to see how you do that. I really am. Hey, Deb, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the programs you're involved with. We'll be back with more with Debbie Brosen right after this.
Your land is your legacy, but keeping it healthy and thriving means caring for it now and in the future. The Family Forest Carbon Program can help you do right by your land with guaranteed income, help developing a forest management plan, and advice from experts. If you own 30 acres or more of forest land in Vermont, Massachusetts, or New York, you may be eligible to enroll in the Family Forest Carbon Program. Visit familyforestcarbon.org and enroll today.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News, and we've got our 2026 Person of the Year. My buddy Debbie Brosen from down in Columbia, Greene County, in the Hudson Valley of New York State. And Deb, I want to talk about the many, many programs you're involved with. And some of the stuff I was not aware of. I mean, I knew you did a lot of paintings for groups like Ducks Unlimited and Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation and others. I knew you did things for local rod and gun clubs. Obviously, you do a lot for the Outdoor Writers Association. But this thing about the youth group up in Maine, I was not aware of that. And I'd like you to enlighten us on that a little bit.
Sure. About 25 years ago, I met a couple of brothers at the sportsman show over in Massachusetts. They run a camp. They actually started a camp that is for kids to attend in the summer. It's basically to keep kids in the outdoors, introduce them to nature, keep them away from drugs. And it's all done by fundraising. And the first year that I met them, they asked me if I would do a donation for them. So I donated a painted feather, and I have been donating to them ever since. It's a great organization. They've built a beautiful little log cabin for the kids to stay at, and the kids hunt and fish. And I don't know about hunting, but I know they fish, and they just get in the outdoors. And once you introduce a kid to the outdoors, it changes their life. So anything that I can do to encourage that, I try to do my best and support wherever I can. And most of the organizations that I have been supporting, I've been supporting them for at least 25 years, some even into 30 years.
Where is this camp in Maine?
Oh, I've never been to it. I've seen pictures of it. I don't even remember. Let me look up the, I think it's near Milford, Maine.
Let's pretend we're kids and go.
Yeah. Well, I hope to make their fundraising banquet this year. It seems like my schedule gets so busy that I just can't make everything, attend everything that I would like to. But I do hope to be able to attend this year. And I know that their audience has been growing. They've had to move to a bigger place. And, you know, just seeing how successful organizations like this are really warms my heart, because it's needed more and more.
One of the things I know that's near and dear to your heart is the Becoming an Outdoors Woman program. And you and your sister, who I met down there at the conference this year, went from being attendees to being volunteers. How did that all happen?
I think that started maybe 5-6 years ago. I volunteered to do a painting for them, a painting demonstration. I had been donating to them. They have a raffle that they use for scholarships and to support their merchandise that they sell, which also goes for scholarships for women who need some assistance in attending. And I just started donating various items to them, and then they asked me if I would be willing to teach. And so I started teaching painting, then I started teaching basket making. And then a few years ago, some of their staff didn't show up, and they were running short on help for checking people in at registration. And that is a very hectic, busy position, as my sister and I have found out. So we just jumped in and said, you know, we were there early, we would do it. And they had such glowing reports about us, I guess. We were told that people felt very welcomed. They really enjoyed speaking with us. It connected them to us. It connected us to the attendees. And we've been doing it ever since.
So what's on tap for this year with Bo?
I'm going to teach how to make a small Adirondack pack basket, and they seem to like to do the paint and sip it in the evening. So we'll be doing registration and then probably be doing a paint and sip as well.
Who doesn't like paint and sip?
I used to do quite a few of them, but time constraints have kind of pushed that in the background for now.
Well, I remember the Outdoor Writers Association's 50th conference. We were founded in Warren County, and I organized one for Lake George that year. In fact, I'm meeting very soon with Lake George again to talk about our 60th. But anyway, you know, we always look for things for spouses to do, and Deb came forth with a paint and sip for the spouses, and I've got a great picture of you all sitting around the table doing that morning. It was,
oh, you do?
Yeah. But I don't think you were drinking wine. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning. So I think you guys were kind of holding off. You'll have to enlighten me on that part of it. But you were painting the wine glasses. And I know all the ladies loved that. They really appreciated it. And I remember them thanking me after that conference for including them with so much. And that was a big part of it. And so thanks for that all these years later.
My pleasure.
So what else you got going on? I mean, you're involved in so many things. And now, you know, you're catching a little break after the Outdoor Writers thing, but prior to Bo, what else has happened for you? You've got a horse you're working with. I mean, what do you do? What are you doing outdoors? You know, you're an outdoors woman. And I know John has been dealing with a few things, getting himself back out there, but you guys have usually spent time at camp in the summer. And I also want to ask you about that buck that's on the cover of New York Outdoor News, because that's what people are asking me. We need a deer story.
I primarily hunt on our property behind our house. And a lot of years I haven't gotten out to hunt as much as I would like because of my painting schedule. The Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation keeps me extremely busy for just them alone. And I was actually painting that morning and decided, you know, I had to take a day off because I had so much to do. And I happened to see the buck through my studio windows down in the back at the woods line. So I keep my rifle in the studio with me during hunting season, and I ran out and shot it. I'm sorry it's not a better story about, you know, being out in the woods, because I've had plenty of time there out in the woods, but that particular day I had to take the day off. I had a deadline and I still got my buck.
Good for you. Did you get out turkey hunting at all this year?
I did not.
Because I know you like to do that.
And I have a nice new call that was made for me special by Brian Southard of Cedar Mountain Game Calls. And I had so many orders to get out for the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, for Nisawa, for, you know, so many organizations, that sometimes I have to take a back seat to my work. You know, as much as I love hunting, and as much as I, especially deer and turkey hunting, sometimes I can't do it because of my work.
You're preaching to the choir on that one.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people think that editing an outdoor newspaper is, you know, gets me outdoors a lot. In fact, I'm getting ready to go in the field with DEC pretty soon for some of this Adirondack brook trout stuff. But at the same time, a newspaper has to get done every 2 weeks, and that's the bottom line. So, you know, it's all push and pull, give and take, and that's the way it works. It's time management, really, and that's all there is to it. Not to go down my road. We all know how that works, because this is about you. Anything fun coming up?
Well, we will be camping at Pex Lake in August, the last week of August, and that's always a good time. And now that summer is almost here, we plan to spend as much time as we can out fishing with our grandson. We like to get him out there in the outdoors, and he loves to fish. I think he would prefer to do that than most anything.
Is he going to come to Pex Lake with you?
He is. He is the entire reason we go to Pex Lake.
Right.
We take him every year. Not that we don't enjoy it, but we make a point to get him out there.
Sure. And how old is he now?
He just turned 14.
Oh, boy. Okay. He's right at that age.
Yes. Make him an outdoorsman. He's a really good kid.
He is. I've met him. He's wonderful. He's great.
Thank you.
And anything else before we sign off you want to talk about?
I just want to say that I appreciate so much the following that I have gained for my art, and the support. You know, a lot of people have been on what I consider my art journey with me for the past 30 years. I know that Paul Chapdelaine from the Northeast Big Buck Club provided a really nice comment about me that went in your article, and he's another one that I met at an outdoor show, the same outdoor show in Massachusetts, that I met the guys from Maine. And my art has not only brought me great happiness, but it's made a lot of wonderful friends. You know, I've met so many wonderful people through it. And my dad used to say, I know you quoted the one thing in your article that he always wanted me to be known for my art. But he also used to tell me that I was given a gift from God with the talent to be able to do this, and that I needed to share it with others. And I don't take that lightly either. I mean, the smiles that I see on people's faces and the happiness that it brings to them if they receive one of my paintings is worth more than any amount of money I could earn doing from it.
Fantastic. Well, Deb, thanks for joining me. I really wanted to get you on somewhere around the time of this article. Folks, you can read the article. It's in the June 12th edition of New York Outdoor News. And there's a picture of Deb with that buck right up in the left-hand corner. I think it's page 12 where the article is. We always do a full-page feature on our recipient of the New York Outdoor News Person of the Year. And Deb is like the 10th or 11th one to receive this award. So congratulations again, Deb. Thanks for everything you do. And again, thanks for coming on. FeatherArtStudio.com. Debbie Brosen, find her. Or go to Bo, if you are a female, that is, becoming an outdoor woman workshop. So
I just wanted to thank you, Dan. I wanted to thank you for such a heartwarming article, for your support along the way of my art, and for having me on your podcast.
Oh, it's always wonderful, and the feeling's mutual. You know that. And I look forward to the next time that we can all get together, because it's so few and far between. I mean, that's what we say about the Outdoor Writers Group. You know, we've all become pretty tight, and we only get to see each other a couple of times a year. So anything else is a bonus. And fortunately, us guys, you and I, live within a few hours of each other, a little less than that. And we rendezvous every once in a while at our favorite Mexican restaurant in Saratoga. That's always a good time. And always filling in more ways than one. So again, you've been listening to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd. We'll be back the next time for what will be our 100th episode. Until then, we hope you got a big fish in your net and are working on getting a big buck on your meat pole. Until the next time.
Missed a past episode of the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast? You can find previous programs at outdoornews.com or via your favorite podcast streaming platform. And for the rest of the story on the topics we cover on this program, get yourself a subscription to Outdoor News. Simply call 800-535-5191 or visit us at outdoornews.com. And don't forget to join us again here in 2 weeks to talk everything out of doors. Thanks for listening to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast.